Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us wherever you are in Southern California. Just give you a little heads up if our radio signal sounds a little different on 89.3. We are on our backup transmitter just for another day or so as repairs are being made to our Mount Wilson facility. So anyway, it may sound just a little bit different, but we're delighted to have you with us. Should you have any problems receiving us over the air, we remind you always, we're streaming at kpecc.org, or you can listen worldwide on the KPECC smartphone app. We begin today with the very latest on COVID-19 and vaccination. Yesterday, we got the word late in Air Talk that the state of California would not be following the CDC's guidelines for removing masks indoors for fully vaccinated people. California says it'll wait until June 15th to implement that rule that people who are fully vaccinated can be unmasked indoors. Now, businesses would still have the right, even after June 15th, to require masks for those who come inside their businesses. They have that latitude. But businesses would be allowed after June 15th to allow those that are fully vaccinated to not wear their masks indoors. I'd like to hear from you what you think about that. Do you support California's decision on this, which is being followed by the public health entities here in California? Or do you think it's a mistake, particularly given that California's got one of the very lowest COVID-19 rates in the United States? Do you think that it doesn't make sense to wait nearly a month for the state of California to follow those recommendations from the CDC? 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Joining us today, our medical authority from UCLA School of Public Health, epidemiologist and professor of medicine, Dr. Timothy Brewer. Dr. Brewer, very good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Larry.
First of all, what do you think of the CDC's recommendation of last week? And do you think California is doing the wise thing in holding off implementing it here?
So I think you need to separate the recommendation into two parts. One is, what's the science behind it? And I think there the evidence is accumulating that the vaccines are preventing infection, and that's really terrific news, and we need to keep that in mind. And then the second is, what's the motivation for it? And I think in part what the CDC was trying to do was encourage people to get vaccinated. Unfortunately, I think the way it came out did create some confusion. And I think California is being a little smarter about it by allowing us a transition time to get closer back to normal.
So do you think it's appropriate for the U.S. public health entity like the CDC to take into account the motivation of getting people vaccinated, using this as a carrot? Is it appropriate to issue its recommendations incorporating that into it?
So I think it is appropriate to try and encourage people to get vaccinated. I think they could have been a little more thoughtful about how states and county public health departments and businesses would respond to the announcement. So I think the motivation was fine. I think the carry-through left a little bit to be desired.
If the science shows that the vaccines are as effective in the real world as they were in the clinical trials, why not remove the mask mandate for indoors for fully vaccinated people?
I think the real challenge, Larry, is just how do you know who's been vaccinated or not, right? So we don't really have any mechanism for screening that. And you really don't want businesses in the position of trying to enforce public health regulations. And so I think the challenge there is just logistically, how do you implement that? So if you look at California, about 49% of our population is fully vaccinated. So how do you know when someone's walking through your door whether or not they're vaccinated and they don't have a mask on?
But if someone is not vaccinated and chooses not to be vaccinated, why wouldn't the risk be on them as opposed to requiring people who can safely be in the store unmasked because they're fully vaccinated?
Well, a couple of reasons. One is there will be some people in the store who may not be able to be vaccinated yet. For example, children under the age of 12. The second is there are individuals who could be immunocompromised for whom the vaccines may be less effective. And so this individual who has not been vaccinated is at higher risk for having and transmitting COVID-19 to potentially to other individuals as well. And then you have to remember, vaccines are not 100% effective, either preventing disease or infection. So I think that the challenge really is how do we put this into play when only half of our population has been vaccinated?
So what changes by June 15th? Obviously, more people are going to be vaccinated, but not everyone eligible is going to be vaccinated. What makes June 15th a better date than doing it this week?
Well, it's just, as you said, Larry, more time to get vaccinated. So we're vaccinating about 240,000 doses a day here in California. We have an additional almost 5 million people who are partially vaccinated. So together, we're talking about 65% of the population having received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. If we continue to vaccinate people at this rate, that's going to get us up around 70-80% of the population. And that's probably a better place to be for interrupting transmission in the population than to be at 50%.
Again, I'd love to hear from AirTalk listeners what you think about the state of California announcing yesterday that it will not adopt the CDC recommendation until June 15th. 866-893-KPECC. Sarah, in West Hollywood, you're on AirTalk.
Yes, hi. I was concerned about Trader Joe's, which is insisting on following the CDC guidelines, knowing that they're breaking California and LA County guidelines. I've spoken with a few managers of the store, and they've actually politicized the conversation with me, which I also was just shocked. Overall, I'm really comfortable with California's position on this. For one thing, I agree with what the doctor just said about it being not enough people are vaccinated. The Washington Post had an article today about how 15 to 80% of people who have certain conditions are not, they're not creating antibodies. It's the title is coronavirus vaccines may not work in some people. So many people are being put at risk to go maskless indoors this early in the pandemic. And then there's the mental health aspect of that CDC announcement was so sudden. They didn't do what California has done, which is, you know, create markers of success and tell us we're approaching them and ease us into this. For those of us who've sort of been trained to think of other people as potential lethal, you know, a suicide bomber, essentially, an unvaccinated person, it's too sudden psychologically.
All right, Sarah, I appreciate it very much. Of course, you know, we'd have other listeners who'd say, I'm ready to go. I feel protected that I'm not going to get severe COVID. It's someone who's unvaccinated and I don't want to wait. So I think, Sarah, you speak for many people who just feel like they're not really ready to make such a dramatic change being unmasked indoors. You raise a couple of things. The first on Trader Joe's, it seems to me what happened is that their corporate misunderstood what the CDC recommendation meant for them. that they're still subject to the jurisdiction that the store is in, whether it's a county or a city health department, and what the state's conformance is or isn't with the CDC recommendation. My understanding is that at least in Los Angeles County, Trader Joe's has now been informed by the health department that masks are still required of everyone who's in the store shopping. So my wife happened to coincidentally go to Trader Joe's yesterday afternoon, said everybody was wearing masks inside the store, and they had the sign up that the mask mandate was in effect. You raise another important issue, Sarah, and that has to do with the antibody response to being fully vaccinated. Yesterday, in our conversation with Huntington Hospital's Dr. Kimberly Schreiner, she was saying that that's not necessarily a perfect indicator of someone's real-world ability to hold off COVID-19. And I wonder, Dr. Brewer, would you reflect on that a bit? Should we be concerned that some people are not showing antibodies in the tests after vaccination?
So Larry, you are correct that the immune system has multiple responses to it, and it's not just the antibodies, but it's other types of cells, such as T cells, that contribute to our overall immune response. That having been said, we are accumulating data to suggest that neutralizing antibodies do reflect a very real level of protection against COVID-19 disease. And so while we still don't know exactly what levels we need to be at, that is a marker that probably we will be depending on more over time.
With this recent study released on the AstraZeneca vaccine showing that waiting longer before giving the second dose actually boosts the effectiveness of the vaccine, could that argue for doing a study of the mRNA vaccines approved here from Moderna and Pfizer to see if spacing out the two doses might create greater protection?
So it's certainly very interesting, and we don't exactly know what the right duration between doses should be, but it does raise the, I think, important indication that if for whatever reason you can't get your second dose exactly at the 21 or 28 days, you should still get it. And so when you can get it, do go ahead and get your second dose of either their Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. And don't worry too much if there is a delay in getting that second dose.
Do you think, though, that this is something that should be studied to see if spreading it out, particularly, I believe the AstraZeneca study showed for older people, there was a particular benefit by delaying I think it was up to 12 weeks. Would it make sense to study that here?
I think the real value in studying it would be if we could somehow make vaccine more available around the world, if it allowed us to vaccinate more people in more places. You know, looking at the trial data for both Pfizer and Moderna, you're talking about 94-95% efficacy that is turning out to be 90%+ in the real world. These are really good vaccines. So I don't think the extra 2 or 3% makes all that much difference.
All right, let's talk with Robert, who's in the beautiful foothill community of Bradbury in the San Gabriel Valley. You're on Air Talk.
Hi, Larry. Yeah, my concern with lifting the mask mandate too early is that essentially with enough people who are either unvaccinated because they can't be or because they don't like the idea of vaccination, is you're providing a population which will drive an evolutionary pressure to create a either a more contagious version or a vaccine-dodging version. So it seems to me prudent to keep the mask mandate just to keep the transmission and the levels lower where we don't end up generating our own Indian variant, which is not only causing problems in India, but it's starting to run rampant in the United Kingdom, too.
Robert, I appreciate your call. Doctor, what do you think about the point that he raises about variants developing?
Well, so variants are already happening, right? So we know now that about 60-65% of COVID-19 cases in the United States are now caused by what was called the UK variant, or the B117. We know that in California, we've had two variants arise already that have similar mutations, also increased transmissibility. And I think that's a very big concern, what's going on in India and Brazil right now. And that's another reason why we really have to get vaccines out everywhere in the world, because until we stop this pandemic everywhere, we're at risk for variants spreading and coming back into the United States.
All right. Catherine in Westdale says, I know three people who've had breakthrough infections after being fully vaccinated. One of them, Moderna, had been at least 2 weeks since second shot. But it worries me. I wonder what kind of studies have been done to see the length of protection. Well, Catherine, important to keep in mind that even though the vaccines are over 90% effective, at least on the early returns for it, in the real world, that means you've got, you know, 5%, maybe a little more, who are likely to get COVID-19, but they may not even know it because many of these cases may be asymptomatic or the symptoms may be very mild. And you know, one of the points I think is important, Dr. Brewer, to consider is for those breakthrough cases, that 5% or whatever single digit that's going to be, should people be concerned that there could be long-term negative effects, even if they're asymptomatic or have minimal symptoms?
Well, that's certainly possible. So we do know that asymptomatic people can have what's called long COVID or post-COVID syndrome, but it's less common than in people who've had serious disease, particularly people who've had to be hospitalized. So the vaccine is likely not only protecting you from getting infection and serious disease, but if you do happen to have a breakthrough infection, probably is protecting you from long COVID syndrome as well. But again, that's not 100% protection.
Cheryl writes on the page, it's frustrating. We need better CDC consistency and clarity of policy to help end COVID. Seems like the latest declaration about masks, more a political move. It seems makes obvious sense to me to keep wearing them for just a bit longer. You can share your comments on the AirTalk page. You can tweet at AirTalk. I've got one of those to share in just a moment from an Orange County listener. And you can post on the AirTalk Facebook page. And of course, phone lines always open for you at 866-893-KPCC. Coming up later this hour, we'll take a look at how our tipping patterns have changed during the pandemic as we've tried to help out restaurant employees and delivery drivers. Are those new tipping patterns likely to continue or not? We'll come back in just 1 minute. UCLA School of Public Health, professor and epidemiologist Dr. Timothy Brewer with us, one of our medical experts who's been with us more than a year on pretty much a weekly basis. Dr. Brewer has been an advisor to the World Health Organization, the aforementioned Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the National Institutes of Health. We're taking your calls on COVID-19 and vaccinations and masking at 866-893-KPECC. We have a tweet from Becky who says, I'm in Orange County, started shopping with my 15-month-old, started seeing people without masks and fully panicked. I had no clue Trader Joe's made that choice. I can't protect my daughter with a vaccine yet. How do I protect her and still go into the world? That's Becky in Orange County. What do you recommend, Dr. Brewer?
So, Becky, the important thing to remember is keep your physical distancing. Make sure you stay home if you're sick, and you can wear your mask. Now, obviously, we do not recommend masks for children under the age of 2. What I would recommend is if you know you're going to spend a long time in a store and they're not enforcing the mask guideline, maybe leave your daughter home with someone if that's possible. If it's not possible, try to minimize the amount of time in the store and maintain your physical distancing.
All right, 866-893-KPCC. Matt in Eagle Rock says the science is still evolving. So maintaining some mask usage in close quarters indoors, I support. There's a lot we still don't understand about transmission. Linda in Tustin says, I think it's smarter to wait like we're doing here in California. I don't think the guidance to lift masks indoors should be given until we're at or close to herd immunity. Just makes people who can't be vaccinated more vulnerable. Also, we know the honor system doesn't work. Diamond in the Hollywood Hills says, I'm glad California's waiting till mid-June to follow the CDC recommendations because there are a lot of us who've had to wait to get the vaccine. My first appointment's on Friday. Some people work more than one job. Some have waited due to medical conditions, so I think it's better to hold off. That's Diamond in the Hollywood Hills. Jerry in West Hills says, the CDC's new recommendations focus on people who've been vaccinated. But what about people who've had the virus and now have antibodies to it? Should the new mask guidance include those people? Dr. Brewer.
So what we know, Jerry, is that people who've had the viral infection are protected against secondary infection, but again, not 100%. That the level of antibody actually still seems to be lower than if you've been vaccinated. And you do have an excellent response if you do get vaccinated after you've completely recovered from your COVID-19 infection. So what I would recommend for people who have had the disease is do go ahead and get vaccinated once you're completely recovered.
Should our focus be on herd immunity? Is that an achievable goal?
Well, we're probably seeing herd immunity in the sense that it is more difficult for the virus to transmit as the level of people vaccinated or infected continues to rise. And that's likely contributing to the low case numbers in California. What you have to remember is all those numbers are averages. And so there are going to be pockets of people and places where the number of vaccinated people or people who have been infected is higher or lower. And anywhere it's lower, there's going to be likely for transmission there that could spill over to other communities. So in general, we want to keep on trying to get everybody vaccinated.
All right. And even if we reach herd immunity, that doesn't mean that COVID-19 will be gone, right? There's still a very good chance it'll be a seasonal illness.
It's likely not to go away. We're likely stuck with COVID-19. I think a good analogy would be West Nile. So West Nile was introduced into the United States in 1999. Now it's a vector-borne disease, not a mosquito-borne disease, not a respiratory infection. But West Nile has never gone away. We have West Nile cases every year, but we don't have the really high numbers that we had when it was first introduced in the United States. That's likely what's going to happen with COVID-19. It's going to become an endemic infection, and that's why it's important to make sure we get out there and get people vaccinated.
All right. So eradicated, not going to likely happen here. 866-893-KPCC. JR asks on the page, what kind of case rates would we expect to see when we've supposedly achieved community immunity?
Well, I think we're going to see similar to what we're having here in California right now. So if you look at Los Angeles, we're averaging about 160 cases a day, about 4 deaths, and we're kind of in our COVID cycle. For California as a whole, it's under 1,000 cases and under 15 deaths. It wouldn't surprise me that we maintain some kind of level like that going into the future, this kind of background numbers. For the U.S. as a whole, we're still up around 17, 18,000 cases. Obviously, if we can get more people vaccinated, hopefully those numbers would drop some.
Tony tweets at AirTalk, will we really need a third shot, a booster shot, for the vaccines we're getting currently?
Unclear, Tony. So what it's going to depend on is how long is the duration of protection? And at least right now, we know for some of these vaccines, it's at least 8 months. Whether it's longer or not, we'll have to wait and see. The second is, how much does the virus change? And so that's why interrupting transmission is so important to try and continue to get everybody who can be vaccinated everywhere around the world, because anywhere there's transmission, that allows the virus to change and to create new variants.
The LA Times reporting on a poll that it helped fund that was conducted by UC Berkeley's Institute of Governmental Studies, and it asked California voters their attitudes about requiring COVID vaccination verification or testing for people to attend certain types of events or take part in certain activities. The poll just released shows 63% of Californians support concert venues, sports stadiums, cruise ships, and casinos requiring either proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test for entry. But there's a huge partisan divide. Democrats approve of that requirement at an 82% level. Those who are no party preference approve of it at a two-thirds level. But two-thirds of Republicans disapprove of that requirement. 78% of those who have already been vaccinated approve of those businesses and venue operators having the requirement. 70% of those who say they're very likely to get vaccinated approve, but only 7% of those who say they're not at all likely to get vaccinated would approve of those requirements for entry. Again, the requirement being either that you show you're fully vaccinated or that you've had a recent negative COVID-19 test. Dr. Brewer, do you think that we are likely to see businesses require that? I know cruise lines have already talked about that being essential if they're going to start having those cruises going again.
So I think it will happen in certain businesses, as you mentioned, Larry, cruise line. So I do know that I think it was the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line is pushing back against the Florida requirement that you can't require testing or vaccination and saying, fine, we just won't stop in Florida ports. So I think for some businesses that will make sense. I think the tragedy in what you were talking about is we've politicized what are really just public health measures. I suspect there's not a big difference between Republicans and Democrats on whether or not you should get an influenza vaccine. So the fact that there is around COVID-19 vaccines tells me that we did not handle this pandemic well in terms of educating people and getting the message out. And that's really unfortunate.
I do think, though, there is an issue about equity, because for those individuals who you mentioned, those folks earlier, who for medical reasons might not be prudent for them to be vaccinated. I know that's a very small group, but this would have a negative effect on them. Or, you know, people who just want to wait until there's full authorization, not emergency use authorization by the FDA, that those people might find themselves shut out of events. They can, of course, take a COVID test in lieu of being vaccinated. But do you have concerns at all about what the effect of this could be in practice?
Definitely. I think we need to be very concerned about equity, and we have to be very careful about creating two-tier systems and having one group of privileged people and another group of unprivileged people. And I think that's part of the challenge, better handled by politicians and physicians and epidemiologists such as myself. But as you mentioned, testing is another option available for people, and having a negative test that allows them the same opportunities as vaccinated people may be one way around that.
Dr. Timothy Brewer, UCLA School of Public Health, professor of medicine and epidemiologist with us. You know, social media has had many postings in recent weeks from people who say they're going to keep their masks on when they go out in public as an ongoing commitment to try and avoid contracting colds or the flu or airborne viruses. What do you think? I mean, who knows if in practice people will actually keep that up years into the future, but at least there are people saying that they intend to do that. What do you think about that?
I think that makes a lot of sense during respiratory viral season, which is generally the winter months of the year. And there are certainly cultures and countries where that's very common practice, particularly in the Western Pacific. I think there's nothing wrong with that. And I suspect we will see people, particularly from November through, say, about March, potentially wearing masks more commonly than we would have 2 or 3 years ago.
All right. We're at 866-893-KPCC. Perhaps time to squeeze in a final call here with Dr. Brewer, 866-893-5722. Dr. Brewer, the LA Unified School District is looking at using prizes and other incentives to get its students vaccinated. They're not alone in trying that. Cities have looked at those kinds of inducements. What do you think about prizes as a way of getting people to choose to be vaccinated?
Well, I think anything that helps people to get vaccinated is probably ultimately a good thing, but I would probably focus more on trusted individuals and education. So what I would want to know is, who are the students looking to for information about the vaccines? Who do they trust? Is it principals or teachers or parents? And then making sure those trusted individuals have the information and education they need to provide answers about the vaccines and be able to address any questions or concerns. So I really like to focus on education and trying to provide people with the information they need to make an informed choice.
As an epidemiologist, I wonder your thoughts about all the renewed emphasis on indoor air quality, because that's, of course, key for those of us who are actually, you know, going into our workplaces and indoors to do our work, or going into places where we shop and the like. Is this something that you think is going to be a lasting benefit, that people are going to take air filtration and perhaps even more importantly, air flow through indoor spaces much more seriously?
So that could be one of the silver linings that comes out of all of this, is the recommendation, the recognition, that indoor air spaces do facilitate the transmission of a number of infections, not just the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And just as we developed over time guidelines for improving our water systems, I think developing the information and data necessary to improve the quality of our air, both indoor and outdoor, and we probably have done that better with outdoor air than we have with indoor air, is very valuable. We've seen the effect, particularly here in Southern California, of addressing air pollution and the impact on health. And now maybe we can start to look at indoor air quality as well.
Dr. Brewer, thank you so much again for being with us. We so appreciate your expertise and your very clear way of talking about something that has, of course, been the subject of emerging science over these many, many months. Thank you, sir, for being with us again.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Timothy Brewer, UCLA School of Public Health, noted epidemiologist and professor of medicine at UCLA. How has your tipping changed during the course of the pandemic? Have you given more to restaurant employees and to delivery drivers than you did pre-pandemic to try and help those who are working in the industry and seeing their income cut? If so, are you anticipating keeping that up, or at what point will you consider going back to your previous level of tipping? How has your tipping changed during the pandemic, and is that likely to hold or not? We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, back in 90 seconds.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.